Of course, we all know that she comes to get her hair done, but she sees us too. I'm just teasing you, baby. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, that worshiping God's a good thing, isn't it? Isn't it? It's a good thing. It's a good thing to do alone or with somebody. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, to sing praises to His name. Amen? It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It's a good thing. And Jesus makes our life full of good things. And nothing or nothing can take the good things of God from us. And the Bible tells us to hold fast to them. The Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. More and more, that needs to be our remembrance. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Because there's all, you know, I don't remember, maybe some of you do, but I don't remember growing up that there was such a resistance or a focused aggression toward the gospel. Nobody cared much about it, but nobody was against it. And now the devil is nervous, and so he has turned up the against it powers. And those who will receive that against it powers see anything that has to do with the gospel. I mean, honestly, they see the gospel. There are actually a number of people who see the gospel, hey Jerry, as being worse than Islamic terrorism. The only reason I can think for that to be is because they don't think the terrorism will get close to them, but they're scared to death that the gospel will. Reminds me of the young man that heart was open to the gospel, but his concern was that he didn't want to be like me. Not because he didn't want to be like me, he didn't want to do what I was doing. He was afraid that if he gave his heart to Jesus, he would end up telling everybody about Jesus. I said, well, just do it and don't worry about it. Then you'll just follow your heart. But you see, we've got to do that. But the world, the society that is so opposed to Jesus, you know, they see all of the ridicule and all of that which comes against Christians now. And they say, man, I don't want that coming at me. So I will just keep it far away from me. And the best way to keep something far away from us is to speak against it. Sounds like a good idea for Christians, doesn't it? You want to keep the devil far away? Tell him to get behind you, to get out, to get away. That you have chosen life and that nothing will take that life from you. And that not only have you chosen life, but that that life that is in Christ Jesus is working powerfully in you. And you are full of peace and full of power. You're full of glory. You're full of healing. You're full of assurance. You're full of confidence. That's what you're full of. And don't be afraid to, which calculates into a shame to, let it out. Let the truth out. Because it not only makes you free, but it makes others free. If someone is diametrically opposed to the truth, they're this close to stepping into it. They are so close to it. Why else would they be so adamantly opposed to it if it wasn't stirring them? If it wasn't agitating them? And they may not know they're close to it, and it may not look like they're close to it, and they may not receive the truth, and they might say, huh, you're one of those, and you say, yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm one of those. I'm one of those people who trust God, who love God more than anything else. I'm one of those people. Aren't you one of those people? Aren't you one of those people? You're one of those people that would risk death before you would deny Christ. You're one of those people who trust the power of God that He will keep you and carry you and take care of you anytime, anywhere, all the time. That you'd be able to just take in that peace of God. And when you have that kind of a peace about you and that kind of a confidence about you, guess what? It affects the atmosphere around you. You know, they say that a dog can smell fear. You know, if you're fearful, if you're not comfortable around a dog, then the dog's not comfortable around you. Well, if you get fearful, the enemy smells it and comes after you like crazy. And where does he come? Does he come somewhere far? No, he comes right at the place where you're fearful. And he tells you you're absolutely right to be fearful. You have every right to doubt. I mean, obviously. Oh, yes, I know, we're in this world, we're not of this world, but, you know, Jesus isn't here. Yes, he is. He said, I'm right here. He said, I never let you go. And we know he'll never let us down. We know that. But you see, if that's just some sort of a in the background, in the shadows, probably, maybe, yeah, but I don't want to have to use it type of a thing, then it's not at all. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The light, arise and shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Today he said, step up. Just step up. Step up to what? Don't worry about it. Just step up. If we can believe it, if we will receive it, then when something like that comes, we'll say, okay, I'm ready. So that when the Lord says step up, we'll say, oh, this is where I'm supposed to step up. Oh, this is where I'm going to step up. Oh, this is where I'm going to step up. You see, he's already assured us, you just step up. Well, I don't know what the Lord's going to want from me. Doesn't matter. It's the Lord who wants it. The King desires your presence. Remember in Esther, that nasty old guy, he thought when the king desired his presence, he was going to get an award. Man, he was anxious to go. And the king said, what should be done for a faithful servant? Why? He should be led through the streets. He should be exalted. He should tell people to bow down for him. And someone of great honor should be leading him. He said, good idea. Get a horse. Huh? You see, he was plotting evil. Folks, we're not plotting evil. The world may try to say that we're plotting evil. We're plotting the overthrow of the world for Jesus Christ. Well, maybe so. But we're not looking at it as an overthrow. We're looking at it as the good thing that takes dominion. That let Jesus take dominion. Let the Lord take dominion of your life first and then your circumstances. And then use his words and his authority to take authority on behalf of other people. See, we just took authority over sickness in a child. We took authority over that. We commanded it to be gone. Not because we say so, but because God says we can say so. I mean, then God will do it. And we'll just cheer and say, way to go, God. Way to go, God. Don't you love it when God does something? Don't you love it when God touches a life, when God touches a heart? Don't you love it? You know?
Did you tell Cindy you were coming to church, Michaela?
You didn't. Is she going to be happy when I say I saw Michaela today? I hope you don't mind, but I'll tell her. I'll say, hey, Cindy, guess who I saw today? And Cindy goes, oh, glory to God, glory to God. See, we should make a big deal out of little deals. And a bigger deal out of bigger deals. And we should turn little deals into bigger deals. Knowing that God is doing more than we know that God is doing, but we just know He's doing it. He steps up. You know, I don't think any of you ever get tired of me talking about jail, but I know other people think that I'm foolish sometimes when I talk about jail. But that's okay if they think that. But I'm telling you, when I see a tear in an inmate's eye, when I just see a nod like, oh, it makes sense, that becomes a big deal to me. That just becomes a big deal to me. And oftentimes I will say, that was God. Did you feel that? That was God. You know, it's like, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. No, 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 really, really, really. Stir it up. Stir it up. When I was a kid, I liked Kool-Aid with extra sugar. Well, I liked it with at least as much sugar as the package said. I lived in a house where you didn't need to use that much. Sometimes it was colored sour. But when I made it, it got the whole cup. You know, it was supposed to get one cup of sugar. Remember that? Now, some of you maybe got to drink it with one cup, but I only got to drink it with one cup when I made it. Otherwise, it was just whatever was there. Okay? And if you drank Kool-Aid, you remember that after you drank Kool-Aid, if it sat in the refrigerator, guess what? Where was the sugar after it sat in the refrigerator? It was on the bottom. You know, I used to eat my cereal with as much sugar as I could put on it. Guess where the sugar was when I got done eating the cereal? It was on the bottom. Now, you'd stir it, you know, you'd try to get it in there to get the sweetness, but it didn't matter. There was going to be some on the bottom. And with Kool-Aid, that was it. And when it was on the bottom with Kool-Aid, you stirred it up because you didn't want any left on the bottom. Why? Because you wanted the good stuff, right? Stir it up. Step up. We're in it to win it, folks. Now, we already know who wins, but there's a lot of little things along the way that God wants us to win. He doesn't want us to just sit in the back and say, well, God will have to take care of it. Right? He wants it to stir us up, because when we're stirred up and then we're confident and then we're full of hope. See, that's why we come. Listen, what Tara said about, we don't need anybody to, you don't need me to teach you. I just inform you, He transforms you. Even though He said, you need that no man to teach you, still He gave men to teach you. To stir you up, to encourage you. But the thing of the matter of the fact is that you can have one nugget drop in a message. You can have a nugget drop in off of a worldly news program. You can have a nugget drop in, and if you'll stir that, it'll saturate. It'll go, whoa, 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 because God will make it grow in you. What we come together for is to be built up, to be informed so God can do the transforming. But what it does is it opens up our heart to receive. Okay? Because everything all week long is for a purpose of diluting and putting to sleep what's going on in our hearts. And I know that all of you stir yourselves, okay? Maybe these messages are just for people that listen to them online. You know, maybe it's for those people on Facebook who don't pay any attention to what's going on. But it might be that you could use them sometimes too. Some nugget might drop in, but it reminds you, stay stirred up. Stay stirred up. You know? I mean, the Bible is life, man. It is life. And you know as well as I do that sometimes you're reading and you're going, man, that must have settled to the bottom, because that just stirs my soul. Yeah, sometimes with my U-Bible app, you know, I'll be reading the Bible and there'll be a verse that's highlighted. And it's like, oh, I like that verse. And apparently I highlighted it. But now in my U-Bible, I can highlight it, and then on the phone at least, you can remove the highlight. And then you can highlight it in a different color. And then when you highlight it in a different color, my phone tells me I highlighted that. That's how I keep track of those things that they were settled on the bottom and they stirred up. See, we need to keep track of those things that need to be stirred up. You know, John's been keeping notebooks and writing notes for 30-some years and before that too, but I know that he's been doing it since this church has been going. He takes a lot of notes. And they're reminders to him. And if he's like me, I go through old journals and I find notes that I wrote and I think, my goodness, do I remember that? Or, I remember that, but what have I done with it? Why do we seek God? We seek God to honor God. We seek God so that we are filled with the presence and the power of God, so that we have in us that which is ready to be stirred up and ready to be put out when he gives us the word to put out. We all, if we have spoken one word to anybody, we have wondered where that word came from. We've all had that experience where something just came up and we just said it and we thought, man, that must have been God. Or we've had words that came up and stopped like here. And we didn't necessarily get them out. And then we wonder if we should have gotten them out, or we wonder if we didn't put them out because they just came up but they weren't supposed to be said at that time, or we hope that they weren't supposed to be said at that time, or and then we need to quit thinking about that and get on to the next time. Because we're being perfected. And we're never going to fix the past. And we don't need to fix the past. The past, old things have passed away. All things become new. Paul said, it is this good news that saves you. It's this good news that saves you. He was talking about the good news of the gospel of Jesus. He said, listen, this is what saves you. This good news saves you. So we need to remember that this good news is what saved us and saves us. It continues to save us, continues to preserve us, continues to encourage us, continues to build us up, continues to give us answers. This is the good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you. We have to continue to believe. Now that's not a big deal to continue to believe, but it's a good reminder that we need to continue to believe. See, there's a lot of things that we believe that we don't ever have to think about, you know? I believe it's 65 miles an hour once I leave the city limits. And I don't sit around going, I wonder what the speed limit is. I believe that that's what it is. I just believe that. Now sometimes there's something new and we have to redo our thinking to believe that. Like when they changed the speed limit over in Pier from 65 to 55 on the 4-lane. It's like, okay, I've got to remember this. But if I'm distracted when I go by the 55, I'll be almost to the 4-lane. I'll go, wait a minute, I'm catching up with people too fast. Now then you can get so settled into that one thing that I've got the 55 down pat. What I do sometimes is I forget. I was clear at the water tower headed home, 9 miles out of town, when I realized I was only going 55 because I never sped up to 65. No wonder people behind me were upset. You know? And so then we have to be continue to believe. You understand what I'm saying? We continue to believe. We continue to pay attention. This is what saves you. If you continue to believe the message I told you, unless of course you believe something that was never true in the first place. So what do you think? Was this never true in the first place? No. It's so true. It's so miraculous. It's so life-changing. But before this came into my life, I had a Bible from when I was confirmed. I think I still have it somewhere. It never meant a thing to me. I had a little Bible that was given to me when I was like 10 years old from my grandparents. Who gives a 10-year-old a Bible? I was so disappointed until I found a $5 bill in it. I thought, what a nice envelope. I don't know what I thought, but the words never meant a thing to me, but that $5, that salvaged my grandparents with me. It was like, you know, for just a minute, they were losing their importance to me. Like, you know, but there was money in it. But it didn't mean anything to me. It wasn't true before. It had nothing to do with me before. And so I believed before that, I believed a lot of stuff that was never true in the first place. This morning, in the word, you know, about, you know, I'll love you forever. Into my mind came that song of "You Ask How Much I Need You." You ask how much I love you. Until the 12th of never, I'll still be loving you. Hold me close, never let me go. Melt my heart like April snow. That's what came to my mind. That's a love song to the Lord, man. And it's a love song from Him to us. And those things are what we believe. And so we keep those things. And so then those things that weren't true in the first place, they don't have any place in our life. And there are still things that come at us that weren't true ever, and they aren't true now, and we shouldn't receive them. We should not receive them. We should receive that truth. And again, remember, as Paul said, look, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Foolishness to those that are perishing. It is. I don't know if I said, "Oh, that's foolishness." But it was sort of how I acted. But I was perishing. It's just like, you know, I've told you before, when Vicki and I visited the church Dick Dugan passed out a book that said, "How to Know You're Born Again," and I read a few pages and I said to Vicki, "If this thing's true, we're in trouble." That was as close as I came to being concerned about that. But whatever I read convinced me that if it was true, I was in trouble. It took a few years before it became true. But once it becomes true, everything else becomes a lie. And we can't mix the truth with lies. It's like when I got saved, that I didn't know necessarily that I was saved, and I didn't necessarily know Christianese. And I told my buddy Murray, you know, I said, "God changed my life." He said, so are you born again and everything?" I didn't know what born again was. He knew what born again was. The previous conversation that we'd ever had about anything of God was when I walked into the office one morning and Murray said, "Did you hear what Oral Roberts said?" Why would I care what Oral Roberts said? I never paid attention to what Oral Roberts said. "Well, he says he saw Jesus and he was 400 feet tall." Oh, we had a good laugh about that because we were perishing. And when he asked if I was born again, which I didn't know anything about, I said, "I don't know." Then I went and I talked to somebody that knew something about it. And I came back to him and I said, "I am. Near as I can figure, I'm born again." Well, I don't know what it is, but this would describe what's happened. And so then there were lies and things that came against, like, this won't last. You know? Vicki Slager says, "What are you doing here?" No, she didn't say. She said that to John. "What's he doing here?" Like, "Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. But I'm staying." It wasn't any big deal. She was absolutely right. What in the world was I doing there? Exactly, exactly, you know, but it was like, you know, I mean, a person with any sense would have thought the whole place was going to explode if I walked in. But we all have that choice. We're going to hold on to what God has done, or we're going to let go of it. And when we wonder, if we ask, God will answer. When I, you know, probably Murray probably did a whole lot to keep me going when he asked me, "Is this real, or is this just, you know, did you get discouraged with music and so this is your, basically my cop out?" I only had one place to go for an answer. I went to God. I said, "God, am I making all this up?" And God said, "You're not that smart." And I said, "Okay, that settles it." I agreed with him. I didn't go, "Oh no, God said I'm not that smart." I said, he made a good point. I couldn't make this up. Nobody can make this up. It is written, and nobody can believe it unless they let the Holy Spirit enlighten them. And it's the Holy Spirit that stirs it back up. And it's our seeking God and desiring to have it stirred back up. What do we want? God said, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Stir up the Kool-Aid. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He's the ingredient that makes it good. Right? He is the power of life. He is the power in your life, and He's in the power in my life, and it's up to us to allow that power to come on. It's up to us to turn on the light in the darkness. It's up to us to recognize darkness. We live in a dark world, okay? So we shine. The Bible says that we shine no matter what. But there are times, there are opportunities when the darkness is so very prevalent. And in those opportunities, the Lord will give us step up. Hit the switch. Is there anyone who goes through a whole week without seeing someone that just doesn't know if the world's going to last? Say it in one of many ways, whatever the case might be, you know. In one form or another, spewing doubt and faithlessness and hopelessness and helplessness. Pay attention. It may just be that that's a place where the Lord flips the switch for their life. Drops a seed. Harvests the person. You just don't know. But we must be prepared. We must stir up those gifts that are within us. We must desire. You see, the only thing God really requires is desire. Desire. Just a desire to live our lives, bringing glory to Him, and knowing that as we live our lives to bring glory to Him, He's given us life. Seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, what He wants, what He desires. It's not, you don't spend 24 hours a day with your nose in the Bible, unless God tells you to spend 24 hours a day with your nose in the Bible. But you spend 24 hours a day with your ear to the one that's dear. And in every circumstance, in every situation, it doesn't take much to say, you know, what do you think? I should be with God the way that I am with my wife. I always just want to know what she wants. You know, what do you want? Because it's better if I just know what she wants in the first place. I've never been any help at deciding what we should have to eat. Unless we're grazing, I'll graze with what I want. But if she'll say, what would you like? I will say, how long have we been married? I'll eat anything you cook, honey. I love it. That's just that. There are things that she knows that I like, and sometimes she'll make those, and when she's going to make those, she'll say, I'm going to make this for you. That's awesome. Now, on the other hand, we have like the restaurateur in our house. We have Michael. Michael's always got an idea. We frequently, very frequently eat exactly what's on his mind because Vicky will say, Michael, what would you like? He has ideas. Good for him. But just think, all we have to do in any given circumstance is say, Lord, what would you like? And if there's something particular that he would like, he will say. And if it's not necessarily anything that, you know, he's too concerned about or he thinks that we can probably handle it ourselves, you know. It's like you don't get up and say, Lord, should I go to the bathroom? But at the same time, we're prepared if the Lord would have some particular reason for it, if we're headed to the bathroom and he says, not now, okay. Help me, Jesus, you know? But I mean, we're open to God, right? That's a strange illustration, but it wouldn't be the first one you've heard from me, okay? But in the same sense, we can be going about our daily business and we start to head in a direction, he says, not now, we can turn away. Or if we're not paying attention, he says, look over there, we can look over there. Right? Don't go this way, don't go that way. I remember years ago when I ceased to be with the Assembly of God, before we ceased to be with the Assembly of God, and I walked out of the place, and the first thing God says, you just got out of the boat. And then he said, go home a different route. So I rove a different route home, and on the way home, I didn't get 20 miles outside of Mobridge, and there was an accident in the ditch. God said, pull over. I pulled over, went down, caught them by surprise, said, mind if I pray for them? Prayed for the guy, got back in my car, and I think they were still sitting there going, how come we let him down here? What was he doing next to that? I don't know what they said. I don't know anything about it. But I do know that it was God said to do this, God said to do that. And when that was all over, I'm going, wow, I haven't been that way before. Where it was so distinct, so clear, so exactly what he wanted. I thought, well, he'll do that all the time then, if I will be open to him. He's the power of life, and he wants you to have life, and he wants you to have it abundantly. He wants us to enjoy life and be completely happy, and he has filled us and anointed us by the Holy Spirit to do the same thing for others. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be accepted to you, O God, my Savior. Amen? So we'll step up. We'll believe what God has said. We will enjoy life because he says, I want you to enjoy life. And not only that, but he says, I want you to be life. I want you to be life. I want you to be life. It's not a hard assignment. It's not something that's supposed to wear us out. It's not something neat. Look, just be life and be light. We can do that. This is our desire to honor you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, this is our desire to honor you. And we pray that you have been greatly honored. Well, we know that you've enjoyed being worshipped because you spoke to us in the midst of it. We know that you have put into our hearts the things and you've given us a spoon to stir it up. And we're just grateful, so very grateful that it's been given to us to understand. And that as we take what you and the Holy Spirit inform us with and then transform us by the renewing of our minds, Lord, we will behold your glory. And we expect it. And we will be life and we will be light because that's what we've been made by you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God.